This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, we're about to begin a new sugya. So, sugya number 23, sugya called Ein Beginnik Menosin Dam. Let's just take a little bit of a throwback all the way back to our Mishnah. It's hard to believe we're already the last day of March, and we're still learning the same Mishnah. Baruch Hashem, we've learned a lot over the last 8 months or so, but we're still in the same Mishnah, where the Mishnah was describing, gave us an illustration to introduce all the principles of Nosein Tam, everything we've been talking about for the last 8 months, about Nosein Tam, Tam Ki'ikur, the Isis, the Rabbanon, the Little Baros, Shishim, everything, all revolved around one illustration of the Mishnah. The Mishnah discussed the person who forgot to take out the Kidah Noshe, and he cooked up the entire piece of meat. Yerush and his bashim to get an usher. He had a whole side of meat, all leg of meat, that was cooked prior to removing the Gidon Usher. So the Mishnah says that's a disaster because the tam of the Gidon Usher now permeates the entire meat, and now we have to trafe up the entire meat. Now, again, are we really trafing up the meat, depending whether we have Nosein Tam or not, whether the Goy is telling us he tastes the Gidon Usher, whether we have Shishim, etc. But the premise of the entire Mishnah is that all the sugyas of Tam Ki'ikur apply very much so to issues of Gid HaNoshah. And it's that particular detail of the Mishnah that the Gemara is about to question. Now, in no shape or form are we questioning everything we've been talking about for the last 8 months. Everything we've been talking about in terms of Tam Ki'ikur, Deraisa, Derabbanan, Nosein Tam, Shishim, Bittul Merah, everything is all true. But it, believe it or not, may not be true vis-a-vis Gid HaNoshah. There may be reason to believe that Gid HaNoshah may be the exception to everything we've been talking about. That the entire institution of Nosein Tam, the entire concern of taste, may not actually apply to the Gidon Usher proper. So again, everything we've been talking about is critical for Mevelis and Trefus and Chazabas, Behold, everything's true, but the particular quirk of Gidon Usher may actually not be true, and that's what the Gemara begins in the first of the Marikamos. So pick it up in the middle of the first line, Asitim Lokai Tana. Our Mishnah happened to disagree with the following Tana. Decided, we went to the Brisa. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher of Yechim and Breker, Amen. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Yechim and Breker, said, "Ein begidin b'neisen ta'am." That Gidon Usher does not produce a ta'am, does not produce a taste, and therefore, although it's obviously osur min haTorah to eat the Gidon Usher, you need not be concerned if you have a little bit of a taste, quote unquote, Gidon Usher. So the Gidon Usher gets thrown into a pot of soup. Just get the Gidon Usher out. Just lift the Gidon Usher, throw it to the garbage. And then the rest of the soup is mutter. Or if you have a yerech and it's basham Gidon Usher, just yank the Gidon Usher out. But then the rest of the meat is totally mutter. There's no need to taste it. There's no need to have goyim taste it. There's no need to have shishim. Everything is mutter. So this is really where our sugya begins. We have a machlekes of tanoim, whether yesh begidim and asidam. That's the view of our Mishnah. And therefore all the rules of tam apply to Gidon Usher. And the tan of the Brais of Bishmael, well, that ain't the Gidim and Nosein Tam. Now, what exactly this machlekes is? Is this machlekes a culinary machlekes? Is this a halachic machlekes? We have a lot of work to do on what this machlekes is all about. But clearly, the Gemara has identified this machlekes as tanoim. Now, the Gemara tells a rather interesting story. Ahudi also the kaveh de Rabbi Chanina. Once somebody came with this kind of a shayla of a tam of Gidim and Nosein in front of Rabbi Chanina, have a yosef Rabbi Yehuda ben Bar Zvina above him. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvina was sitting outside the Beis Medrash, and the fellow who had gone in to ask Rabbi Chanina the Shaila came out. Kinofek, when the fellow came out, so Amalei, my Amalach. So he asked him, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvina asked him, what was the psak? What did he say? Amalei Sharia Mihalei. He said that Rabbi Chanina had responded to him that it was okay. It was Mutta, Sharia it was Mutta. So obviously Rabbi Chanina, strangely enough, was paskening against the Mishnah. Our Stam Mishnah is saying that Yesh Megidim and Nosein Tam. You cannot ignore the Tam of Megidim and Nosein. And Rabbi Chanina is siding with the Braisa that says that Ein Megidim and Nosein Tam. So Omalei, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvina said to the Shaul, El Hada Ayla Lukamei, then ask him again. Then make sure you got the right answer. Omar, Rabbi Chanina wasn't too happy. Omar, my hide becomes silent. He says, why the best for me? Why the chapter me? He says, we're finished. So, Zil, Emalei, Laman, Diyasim, Ababa. Rabbi Chanina sent the message back, go tell the person who's sitting by the gate, Ein Beginim and Nosein Tam. Baba means like, Baba Kam, Timbal means a gate. So he said to him, go tell him that. That's how we pass it. Now, Lachlan Isa, we pass it that way. He also commanded Rabbi Ami, when such a similar shayla would come to Rabbi Ami, a question of whether Yesh begin as a damana, Meshadlu l'kamid Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chalov, he didn't want to answer the shayla himself. Rabbi Ami wasn't so comfortable saying that it was mutter. He didn't have a clear cut psach on this, but he knew that there were others who were makel. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chalov was makel. The Mori Balatay Rishum Levi, he had a tradition for Rishum Levi to be makel. Leilo Svirulai, that even though Rabbi Ami himself didn't think that was right, he had a right to refer the shoel to somebody else. The Hilchos of the Gemara says the bottom line is ain't the Gibran Hasid not. All the dust settles, notwithstanding what it says in the Mishnah, notwithstanding a little bit of a discrepancy in the earlier Amarad, the final word is clear, ain't the Gibran Hasid not. And therefore, Lemaisa, any time we have a Shaila of Tam of Gidanosha, we completely ignore it. We obviously take out the Gidanosha proper, but the Tam we do not have to be concerned with. And strangely enough, we don't postulate this Mishnah. So we spent 8 months talking about the Mishnah. We don't postulate this Mishnah. Again, we extract all the rules as irrelevant for all other areas of Kashrus. But push comes to shove in terms of this particular Mishnah, we happen to accept the view that Ein Begidin Ben No Sein Tam. That's how we postulate Halacha. Now, the Rishonim have a machlokes about, practically speaking, let's say a person really does have to get a nosh and gets mixed in with the rest of the food, or forgot to take out the get a nosh and he cooked up the whole side of meat. Would we practically say that everything's okay without any time issues whatsoever? So there was one opinion in Rishon that maintains, even though we're not worried about the get a nosh proper, we still have to worry about the shuman hagid. There's a sugya in Perek Get a Nosh that tells us that mid the Rabbanon, Chazal said, that the fattiness, the fat on top of the get a nosh, although it's not technically get a nosh in the Torah, it's not the actual nerve, not the actual sinew itself. Midrabbanan, Shuman Agid is problematic. And some Yishayim say that since it's problematic, Adis Nosinam tastes very good. Shuman Agid tastes delicious. So since it is halakhically problematic, Midrabbanan, and it does taste good, so Ein Begidim Nosinam, Aval Yesh B'Shuman Agid B'Shuman Nosinam. So that's what Rashi says. And therefore, anytime you would have a Gid Anosha Shaila, you get mixed up into other food, you wouldn't have to reckon with the Gid proper, but you would have to take into consideration to calculate whether you have Shishim Gidag and Shuman. And Tosis quotes an opinion that says no. Tosis quotes from the Rivam that says that the Takanas HaChamim of Shuman Agid was that it's not going to be more Chamim than the Gid proper. So if you have a Gid Anosha in front of you, then you're not allowed to eat the Gid, and you're not allowed to eat the Shuman again. But if you don't have the gid in front of you, the gid was already removed, and now we're just passing a shayla on the tam. Did any taste permeate from the shuman again? How could the shuman again be more strict? That could be stricter, be more chomer than the gid proper, and therefore there wouldn't be a problem of nosin tam even on the shuman again itself. So that's already a technical question. And for us, this almost never, ever happens. For us, practically, by the time the meat gets to your table, the gid anosh has long been removed. But in the old days, we checked an animal, they left a piece of meat laying around, and they forgot to do. And you forgot to move to get an usher, so you could potentially have these shilas that would come. So the ma'aseh we pass in halacha that ain begidim ben asin tam. Is there any significance to this psach besides the technical issue of tarovas, besides the issue of mistakenly cooking a get an usher with other meat? Does this impact in any other areas related to kashrus, related to get an usher, related in general? So the answer is yes. This sets the stage for a major discussion, which actually is really very much in the end of the year, but it's actually a chometz sugya, it's actually a psachim sugya. So we're going to put Kiranosha on the back burner for a few minutes. Hopefully learn a sugya, Masechus Psachim, that's very relevant to Lamaisa these days in terms of chometz. Then eventually we'll come back to Kiranosha and see that this issue where the Yesh Begir Menazidam, Em Gir Menazidam, is absolutely critical. So let's take a look. The sugya begins in the second of the Maram HaKomos. It's a sugya Psachim Dav Chafal from the days. Omer Chizkiya. The first Mishnah in the second paragraph of Pesachim tells us that not only are you not allowed to eat chametz in Pesach, you're not allowed to derive benefit from chametz on Pesach, and we assume that's an issur in the Torah. And where does it come from? In the Chumash itself, it doesn't say that, at least not explicitly. The Torah says many, many places not to eat chametz, lo ya'ochel chametz, lo socha lo chametz, ka mechmetz v'suchelu. The Torah says multiple times, if you eat chametz, so you chayev karetz for eating chametz on Pesach. So there's no question that achilus chametz on Pesach is an issur gomer min haTorah. What is less clear, from at least from the Tosha B'Ksav, is that chametz is asur b'hanah. How do I know that I can't feed it to my dogs? How do I know I can't make a few dollars off it? How do I know that chametz is asur b'hanah on Pesach? So Chizki begins, Chizki minayim chametz b'Pesach asur b'hanah. Shenemar, lo yeh achel chametz, lo yeh bo yeh achila. So Chizkiah is picking up on the Lashon HaTorah in Parshas Bo, in one of the three places where the Torah says not to eat chametz. So in one place, the Torah uses almost a strange grammatical formulation, lo ye ochel chametz. That's the way you have to pronounce it, even though it's written with the same letters, Yud Aleph Chaf Lamed. But if the Balkur would say lo yochel chametz, you would have to correct him. It's a different word. Lo yochel means you should not eat the chametz. But the Torah says lo sochel of chametz. The Torah says, "Kamachmetz lo sochem." The Torah is speaking to the person, Lashon Sivoy. Here, the Torah uses a somewhat of a roundabout phrase, "Lo ye achel chametz." Your chametz is not permitted to be eaten. It's almost like an emphasis on the cheftza rather than the gavra. The chametz may not be in lo ye achel chametz. What does that strange formulation grammatically mean? So Chizkiah tells us that it means as follows: Lo ye bli heter achiva. It means chametz should be so removed from you that chametz shouldn't even lead to achila any shape or form down the line. What does that mean? So Chizkiah, Rashi explains, what Chizkiah is driving at is as follows. Hana'a is always something that's worth money. Say, if I have dog food and I feed it to my dogs, so that's a value to that hana'a, the amount of money that a person would spend on dog food. Or let's say, if I sell something that's also hana'a, so I'm making a few dollars, being nana from something always translates to dollars and cents. Dollars and cents down the line leads to the achila because a person spends money on buying food. So comes Chizkiah and says, lo yeh chametz means you cannot use chametz in any shape or form that using the chametz will lead you to have some kind of financial benefit. Whether it means I sold it to the guy and I take $10, whether it means I feed it to the dog and I don't have to buy dog food, whether I use it for firewood and I don't have to buy a log, any shape or form that I used chametz in any way I benefited from chametz, that's a potential low, quote unquote, low ye achol chametz. That leads the achilas chametz. That will lead to my eating at the expense of chametz. And that's the source for this issur derech. That's Chizkiah's formulation. So it has the following comment on Chizkiah. Time in the kasuv chamar lo ye achol chametz. Halo kasuv lo ye achol. Hava mina isra achila ma'ashma isra nola ma'ashma. It is clear from Chizkiah that it is only because the Torah uses this somewhat strange formulation of lo ye ochel chametz. If not for that dictum, not for that tradition that we have to pronounce the phrase lo ye ochel, if the Torah would have just said lo sochel chametz, lo yochel chametz, so then I would have said achila means achila. I would have looked up in the dictionary. Achila means not to eat. Achila doesn't mean not to feed to the dogs. Achila doesn't mean not to sell to the goy. So according to Chizkiah, whenever the Torah says achila, the baseline, the starting point of the word achila is achila asar, but hanah mutar. We have no reason to extend yisuri achila to yisuri hanah. The only reason why we have to do it in this case is because the Torah gives a strange grammatical formulation of lo yeochel. But if not for that strange formulation, I would have translated the word achila kipshuto, achila asar hanah mutar. So the Gemara says that assumption of Chizkiah is highly questionable. Upligad Rabbi Abahu. Chizkiah is disagreeing with Rabbi Abahu. Chizkiah and Rabbi Abahu were contemporaries. They were early Amoraim, both early Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, the very beginning of the period of the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Abahu disagreed with Chizkiah. Rabbi Abahu said that's not true. Rabbi Abahu took a much more radical approach and said the very word achila itself, nothing to do with the strange grammatical formulation of lo ye achel, just the mere shoresh aleph chof lamed conjures up a certain image, and it means hana as well. But if you look up in the dictionary, in the halachic dictionary, lo sochal means lo tahaneh. Achila is la davka achila. Achila is just an example of many, many, any hana'ah. Unlike Chizkiah, you said that the word achila does not conjure up the image of hana'ah necessarily, unless you have a strange word like ye'achel to mean that. But Rabbi Abahu disagrees and says the very word achila always means hana'ah. How in the world did Rabbi Abahu know this to be true? Where in the world does it say such a thing? The Yom Rabbi Abahu, Rabbi Abahu has the following source. Kol makom shenema lo yoichal, lo soichal, lo sochlu, echad esra achil, v'echad esra hana. The mashma. Whenever the Torah uses any formulation of the word achila, it automatically prohibits hana as well. How do you know that? Ad shepar lecha kosum kedech shepar lecha b'nevela. Unless the Torah tells you to the contrary, such as by nevela. What does this mean? So there's a series of apostles, a phrase in the end of the Parsha Machalsa Surus and Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh, the Torah repeats many of the Dinim of Kashrus. And then at the end, the Torah sums it up and says, Lo sachu kol nevela. You're not allowed to eat nevela. Nevela means an animal that wasn't shechted properly. Either an animal that died on its own, an animal that was killed shelo b'dei hashchita, a shchita that went bad. Anytime an animal died in any other way besides a kosher shchita, that is the halachic definition of nevela. So what am I not allowed to do with nevela? So the Torah says, Losachu kol nevela, don't eat nevela. But then the Torah says something very strange. So the Torah says, oh, and by the way, what you should do with the nevela, you should do with the dead meat is as follows. Give it to the ger room to eat. Now, obviously, the ger here is not the ger tzedek. We're not talking about a person who converted to Judaism. The word ger in the Torah means different things in different places, depending on the context. It's very clear, usually, from the context. Sometimes the word ger refers to what we call today a ger tzedek, someone who has converted to Judaism. So he's a full-fledged Jew. Obviously, he cannot eat non-kosher meat. Then you have another institution called the ger teisha. The ger teisha means he's a goy. He's not Jewish. He did not convert. Didn't have a meal. Didn't go to the mikveh. Nothing. He's not Jewish at all. But what he did do is he came in front of us and he accepted upon himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. He's not going to worship idols. Not going to kill. Not going to steal. He makes a formal kabbalah and he's applying in a sense for citizenship in Eretz Yisrael. He wants to remain living in Eretz Yisrael. If a person is an Eved of a Zorah, so they're not supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael. A person is supposed to be mekabel the non-Jew. We open arms. We let all the non-Jews live in Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing wrong. You're allowed to have the non-Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, but they have to keep the law. And the basic law is they have to observe the basic tenets of humanity. They can't kill. They can't steal. They can't worship idols. They have to be people who have a call upon themselves. The Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Once the person does that, he becomes a Ger Tosha. And now that's a whole new level in halacha. We are actually responsible for the Ger Tosha. We have to support them. There's a mitzvah of Chayimach. We have to support them. We have to make sure they have their needs taken care of. So they become, in a sense, our responsibility. They become part of the greater community of Eretz Yisrael. So there's a halachic concept of Gerei Teisha. So here the Torah says, if you have this dead meat, and you can either throw it to the garbage, but don't throw it to the garbage, give it to the Gerei to eat. Anyway, you can't eat it. Give it to the next neighbor who's a Gerei Teisha. He's Eichon Avedus. He's allowed to eat Treifa. That's not one of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. So give it to him to eat. Or if you want to sell it to an old mochel and nochari, you want to sell a mamash to a stranger, you want to sell it to a goy. So let's say there's a goy who happens to be in Eretz Yisrael. He happens to be an Ovid of a Zara. What's he doing there with a good kasha? But he's there. He's there. He's visiting, whatever. But the bottom line is, he has this Ovid of a Zara in Eretz Yisrael. So you're allowed to sell it to him also, a mochel and nochari. So you can sell it to the stranger. You can give it to the getosh, sell it to the stranger, do whatever you want with it. So basically, the Torah is highlighting is that even though this meat cannot be eaten, it's okay to benefit from it. So Rabbi Abo poses a question on the pasuk. Why does the Torah have to tell me that it's okay to benefit from it? Why would I have thought otherwise? What was my havamina? What would have led me to believe that I can't give it to the Ger Teisha? Why would I have thought I can't sell it to the guy? Why not? The Torah never said it's asa banah. All the Torah said was it's asa biachila. You see from here, says Rabbi Abo, that when the Torah says don't eat means don't eat, don't feed the dogs, don't feed that, don't sell, don't give gifts, don't do anything. The word achim. Here the Torah says it's an exception to the rule. This is the Yaitzim and Aklal. And the Torah says that, by the way, this nevela that really should have been also b'hano, because it's also b'achilu, so whatever's also b'achilu is also b'hano, it should have been also b'hano. But guess what? This is the Yetzim HaKlal. This is the exception to the rule. And what can you do with it? Give it to the Ger Teisha, sell it to the Goyim, etc. So comes the Rebbe and says, you see from here, when the fact that the Torah had to come out of its way to be Matir Nevela Banah, you see from here that Lulei, not for the Heter HaTorah, it would have been Asur. If only we can derive it Din L'Chol HaTorah Kula, that the word Achila means Anah. And therefore Rebbe Abo says, the real source that Chametz Pesach is also Banah, you do not need Chizkiya's derivation from lo ye ochel, from the strange grammatical formulation of lo ye ochel. The source that chametz is also by nomina Torah is simply from the word don't eat chametz. The Torah says, don't eat chametz. Don't eat chametz means don't use it in any shape or form, don't sell it, don't give it to the animal, don't derive benefit from it, unless there's a pasuk to be maftir, which there happens not to be, and therefore remains bisura. So when all the dust settles, in terms of Hilchos Pesach, in terms of Sugya of Chametz, Chizkiya and Rabbi Bo are identical. They both conclude the same conclusion. They both agree that if a person violates Hanah from Chametz, that's an Issur Gomer Min HaTorah. The only machlokes is, how do we figure it out? Chizkiya needed a special pasuk to teach it to me, and Rabbi Abba said, I don't need an additional pasuk. I don't need a special blessing. It's part of the same old story. If you can't, what you can't eat, you can't benefit from, unless we know to the contrary. Unless we have a blessing to the contrary, what you can't eat, you can't derive benefit from. So when all the dust settles, coming to Pesach is our semana. That's not a shadow to Rabbi Yevon Chizkiyah. But the only machlokes is what's the source. So the question is, man of communion with the sources. Who cares? Machpati with the sources. So the answer is no, it's very, very important. Because depending on what you think the source is going to impact on other areas of halacha. Rabbi Abba has a lot of explaining to do. Because there are many, many machalos asuras out there. There's chelev and there's dam and there's nevelis and there's trepas and there's chazir and there's basbo. There are so many things that you're not allowed to eat. And according to Rabbi Abba, the starting point is what you can't eat, you can't derive benefit from. According to Chizkiyah, that's not the starting point. So according to Chizkiyah, it's very possible that chazir, but the bano and chelev, but the bano and dam. I don't need a pasuk to be matter these things. According to Chizkiyah, you need a pasuk to ask and not to be matter. But according to Rabbi Abba, that everything is derived from the parish of Nevela, that all machlokes asuras start out being asa bano until proven to the contrary, everything also until proven mutter. So the Gemara is now going to go through the nitty gritty steps and say, well, according to Rabbi Abba, how do you know the chazir is mutter bano? It's not. How do you know chelev is mutter bano? How do you know dam is mutter bano? How do you know chodesh is mutter bano? Every single machlokes asuras, the Gemara is going to ask, how do you know it's mutter bano? So the one that, of course, interests us the most right now is the Gita Nosha Shaila. So that's, we go back to the second Maram Kamos. So the second paragraph in that Maram Kamos. Masir Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha. Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha raised a question. Barei Gita Nosha. It says in the Chumash that you're not allowed to eat Gita Nosha. The Rechaman Omar. Okay, lo yechum in Esos Gita Nosha. So everybody agrees that there's an Isra Achila in Gita Nosha. Barut Znan. We learned in the Mishnah. Shalech Adam Yarach Lenochri, the Gira Nashi Besocho, the Gneshim Akam and Nikr. The Mishnah, the seventh breath of Chulun, tells us that, let's say I want to send to a non Jew, I want to send him a whole piece of meat. I want to send him a whole thigh, a whole leg of meat. So that's okay. I'm allowed to send it to him. Why? Why not? There's a Gira Nashi inside it. Who cares? So the Mishnah is discussing how can I send this thigh of meat, this side of meat, to the non Jew without taking the Gira Nashi out. Maybe there's going to be a Jew who's going to be watching, who's going to see that I'm delivering my delivery truck, my kosher meat truck is coming to the non-Jew's house and delivering a whole side of meat. And the Jew's going to be standing there and watching and knocking the guy's door and saying, I saw you just got a kosher delivery. Can I have a piece of that meat? So the Jew may inadvertently eat Gita Nosha, not realizing the Gita Nosha wasn't taken out. So the Gemara and the Mishnah raises that question. Is there some kind of a problem of the Fahibra? Well, that somehow set up a scenario down the line that I may end up being machshil, a Jew, and eating it on Russia. So the Mishnah says, no, you don't have to worry about that. Why? They should become a nikar. Because it's obvious. A Jew's going to realize, you can tell whether the get on Russia was or not moved. The Jew's going to look at that thigh, look at the side of meat, and he's going to see right away, there's no cut there, there's nothing was removed. So the Jew's not going to go and knock on the guy's door and ask him for just a piece of meat without taking out the get on Russia. So it's true that the halacha says that I can't give something to a guy if I think it's going to fall to the hands of a Jew inadvertently, and the Jew may end up violating an issa. That's a problem. That's like a shtickle lifnei iver, like a far move lifnei iver. But if it's obvious no one's going to make that mistake, then it should be okay. The mashal of the vadayim, the Mishnah says, Mises Kelayim, let's say I have a garment of shatnez, and the shatnez is not recognizable. Let's say there's a thread of shatnez in there. No one would ever even know that's a thread of shatnez. I get some shatnez stuck in the collar behind the button. The average person wouldn't even know it's there. So, but I know it's there. So I'm not allowed to give that garment to a guy. Why? Because if I give that garment to a guy, he's allowed to wear shatnez. Shatnez al asbah. No, I'm allowed to give it to a guy. Why does the Mishnah say, lo yim kvein levi gichavim? Because the guy may go ahead and take this garment and sell it to a Jew and say, I got this garment from Reuven. So then when John wants to sell it to Shimon, he says, I just got this suit from Reuven. It doesn't fit me properly. Let me give it to you. So Shimon's going to think, oh, you got it from Reuven. Reuven's a firm person. I'm sure Reuven would never have clothing around the chatnez. Little does Shimon know that Reuven had a garment that was shatnez. So Harez Elohim Kuvan Elohim Kichav. So the Mishnah says the Farish, Begich Abba Kilayim. If there's a garment that it's not clear where shatnez is in it, and it may lead to a mikshel down the line, you're not allowed to sell it to a goy, not allowed to give it to a goy, because Gezeira, that the goy may sell it to a Jew, and the Jew may inadvertently think that it's okay, because the goy is going to tell him he got it from another previous religious Jew. But what if it's a beged shalo avid b'kilayim? What if it's obvious? Let's say it says on the label. When somebody asks the shayla, they by mistake, they bought a coat, And the mama said of the label, 80% wool and 20% linen. The mama said on the favor, said Rashadness, obviously they can't wear it. And what it was, they have to take out half the coat was linen. So that kind of a coat, theoretically, you can sell. You can give to a guy. Why? Because that's not begging of a bakelayim. It's state the favor. It says, open up the coat, you take a look quickly. Unless you want to tie it, maybe the person will make a mistake, won't look at the label. But let's say, let's say that's called the Nika Begish and Nika Bokelayim. That's not a Begish and Never Bokelayim. So then that is so with it deploy. So when it comes to Gidan Nasha, the Mishnah says you don't have to worry about selling the Yerech to the guy because any Jew is going to realize right away that the Gidan Nasha wasn't removed. It's clearly clear to the eye. But comes the Gemara and says, wait a second, how can I sell this Gidan Nasha? How can I sell and send the Gidan Nasha to the guy? Even if I'm giving it to the guy as a gift, that's also called anah. Giving a gift to somebody is called anah, because the other person is going to feel indebted to me. Let's say, for example, I have a bottle of tray for wine, and I got a bottle of tray for wine from someone, and I want to give it to a guy as a gift. So that's a problem. Unless you hold that tray for wine today is mutab anah. That's the whole machlokes aposkim, whether non-kosher wine today is mutab anah, asab anah. But if you hold that like the days of old, it's mamash asab anah, mishum avodah zarah. So then if I give it to a client of mine, I give it to a customer of mine, I give it to a business acquaintance of mine, so that gufa is considered to be a potential vana. There are some who make that our wine today, the Goyishah wine today, may be mutabana for technical reasons. But according to the Machmirim, so that's a problem, because giving a gift of a double asbana, that's tantamount to hana itself. So that's what the Gemara asked the question, our reason, when Nafa raised an objection, how could the Mishnah imply that Gidanash is mutabana? The Mishnah is describing you're allowed to send the yerech and the animal to the guy. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing can go wrong. Forget about the Jew eating it. Isn't the sending itself a violation of hana? You see, for me, it's not true. The Gidan Asher is talking about asab hana. So the Gemara says, according to Chizkiya, I understand why it's not asab hana, because there's no source. There's no pasuk to say it's asab hana. But according to Rabbi Abba, who says that all Isuri Achima are automatically asab hana, so why shouldn't Gidan Asher be asab hana? The Gemara is the following answer. Kesavah Rabbi Bo, the second line in that second paragraph. Kesavah Rabbi Bo, Rabbi Bo's opinion was, Kishahutra Nevela, he bechelva begida hutra. Rabbi Bo has the following derivation. Rabbi Bo says there is a pasuk that's matter gida nosh b'na. What's the pasuk? Lo sochu kol nevela, lager shem shrechti nevecho. The same pasuk that we learned before, that's matter nevela b'na, can serve as the source to be matter gida nosh b'na. Why? How is that? The pasuk is not talking about Gidan Asher. Well, it kind of is. The pasuk is saying, if you have a dead animal and you want to give this nevela to the guy, give the animal to the guy. Does the Torah say to take out the Gidan Asher first? Does the Torah say to take out the chela first? No. The Torah says, pick up the whole animal, lock, stock, and barrel, and dump it into the guy's truck. But wait, aren't I by doing so not only nanef of nevela? Aren't I being nana from the Chelev Shabo? Aren't I being nana from the Gidam Nasha Shabo? So the answer to that question is yes, you are. And that's what Rebbe's formulation, Kishahutra Nevela, he Vechelva Vagida Hutra. Nichlal in the Heter, when the Torah is not a Nevela Bana, licked in that pasuk, the Heter of a Nevela Bana, is not just the Issa Nevela and the Besar Nevela, the Torah is not the entire animal, the bottom head to toe, including the Chelev Shabo, including the Gidan Asher Shabo, and this Dirash of Kishahutra Nevel, Hibachav and Gidan Hutra, this is the source for Rabbi Abol's Heter Anon Gidan Asher. So again, according to Chizkiya, you don't even need this. According to Chizkiya, Gidan Asher is Mutav Anon because there's no possible to Aser. It doesn't say Lo Ye'achal Gidan Asher. But according to Rabbi Abol, who says that Isuri Achila and Isuri Anon are synonymous with one another, what's the source to be Mat to Gidan Asher Banon? The answer must be this possible. Now comes the Gemara and says, wait a second, now the Gemara connects it to Asugya. Hani chalamam diyomar yesh begidim enayis in tam. Elamam diyomar ein begidim enayis in tam ha'ikam ha'emar. The Gemara says that drasha makes sense, that Gidan Nasha is nichal in nevela. That's if you follow the view of yesh begidim enayis in tam. If you hold that Gidan Nasha is basically regular meat, if you hold that when the Torah says don't eat nevela, so nevela means anything that has a taste of nevela, including the meat, including Gidan Nasha. If you hold that yesh begidim enayis in tam, then I understand that Gidan Asher is included in the Issur Nevela, and Memela, when the Torah says to give it to a guy, the Torah is being merameh, the Torah is hinting that even the Gidan Asher is Mutabana. But if you hold the Laman Diyama Ein Begidim Ben Asintam, if you hold like the Tana, like we pass him, that Ein Begidim Ben Asintam, So then when the Torah says, Losochu kol nevela, the Torah's not talking about Gidon Asher. You would never call a Gidon Asher nevela. Gidon Asher doesn't have any taste to it. That's not Losochu kol nevela. So if the Torah is not speaking about Gidon Asher, then the heter of giving to a guy is not referring to the Gidon Asher Shabbat. The Torah is saying, whatever you can't eat out besar nevela, namely the flesh of the animal, that flesh is permitted to be given to a guy. Are you allowed to give the gid to the guy? No, because that's not that's not the meat of the nevela. What's the din? Can you give the gid and nasha to a guy? Maybe not. Maybe gid and nasha is also by no. So all of a sudden the Gemara says that in the worldview of Rabbi Abel, we have a big crisis now. We have a big problem. In the worldview of Rabbi Abel, we want to know gid and nasha. What about no osbano? That's my question. According to Chizkiya already left the shir this morning. There's nothing to talk about. According to Chizkiya, of course, Gid HaNasha is Mutter Banah. There's no source to Aser. According to Chizkiya, everything's Mutter Banah until proven otherwise. But according to Rabbi Abel, that everything's Aser Banah until proven otherwise. What is the proven otherwise? What's the source? So the best source the Gemara could come up with was this phrase, Kishotu Nevela, Hi Bechavu Megidu Hutra. And now the Gemara says, wait a second. That phrase only is true if you hold Yesh Megidin B'Nosin Dam. If you hold that Ein Megidin B'Nosin Dam, then you must conclude that Gid HaNasha is also Banah. And the Gemara says, you're right. That is the conclusion. And the Gemara goes on to say, in the last line, the sign to Gid HaNasha, Mutter Banah, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Oyser. The Gemara says that actually is a Machlekes HaTanan, is Gid HaNasha Mutter also Banah. The Gemara says, guess what the issue depends upon? It depends on Asugya. So all of a sudden, the Gemara now made the link between Chul and Sadites and Psalm Chaf Aleph. Namely, if you hold like our Mishnah, that yesh begidim and osin dam, then you're free to apply the rule kishahutra nevela he begidu hutra, and therefore you have a source to be matigid and osher banah. If you deny our Mishnah, if you follow our Braisa, the way the Gemara finally concludes the halacha, if you paskin that ain begidim and osin dam, that leads you to a chumra, and you have no heter hano. So it's in nimtza chumra kula kula chumra. Whenever a machmir in one area of halacha, that may lead to a kula in another. So if you're very, very machmir in Hukkos Gid HaNasha and say, yesh, begin with Asadam, that leads you to the kula that Gid HaNasha is mutter banah. If you're very, very lenient, very, very make of Gid HaNasha, the Gid HaNasha is ain't begin with Asadam, that leads you to a chumra, the Gid HaNasha is in fact Asad banah. So if you just simply think that, if you put together Chul and Zarites, Mipsachim Kabbalah, it should be a no-brainer that we paskin, Gid HaNasha is ain't begin with Asadam. And therefore, the corollary of that statement should be, if ain't begidim ben osin dam, so then Gid HaNasha is also banah. If you just follow the story from Pesachim Daf Chaf Aleph, that's the obvious conclusion, that a Gid HaNasha is also banah, which is exactly what Tosfos says. Tosfos in the third of the Rambam comes, Tosfos on the page, on Tzadik Testament page, the third of the Rambam, Tosfos makes this observation. L'may de kaimelon ain't begidim ben osin dam, Gid HaNasha also banah. Says it's no brainer. 2 and 2 equals 4. We pass in ain begin ben osin dam. Therefore, Gid HaNasha is also banah. The Halachim Mefarsh Prakol Shah. The Parach of Rabbi Abel. The Gemara asked the question. Challenge Rabbi Abel. Biyama kumakum shema lo sochu v'chulei. Mash v'nami yisar anah. Uparach v'rei Gid HaNasha v'chulei. U'mishani the way. But Tosfos just did in one line. Just summed up the last 20 minutes of the shiur. U'mishani kishutra nevei. Lihi begidu hutra. U'masik. The Gemara's conclusion is. The Laman diyam. So Tosfos is a no-brainer. Tosfos says it's obvious. If you just learn Pesachim and Chul and put the two together, you realize right away that we pass in Halacha that Gid HaNasha is Aser Banah. So Tosfos only has one question. It's not a question from a Gemara, not a question from a Mishnah, not a question from a Pasuk. It's a question on the butchers. The aim of the Mayan Tosfos, wait a second, whoa, hold the phone. Amasha Meichrin Niku Basel of the Kechavim. Afa Pisha Me'uraba Gid. They said, wait a second. They're looking around, but they're sitting around France in 1100s and saying, wait a second, all the from butchers are, when they shecht an animal, they don't bother taking it apart to get an osha. This man is there. In America, nobody bothers taking out to get an osha and wants a pain in the neck. So it's much easier to just take away, shift the animal and sell it to a guy. But if you're on a desert island and you only have X amount of meat, then you have to know how to take out to get an osha. You don't know how to do it, you don't know how to do it, you can't eat it. So if you know how to remove the Gid HaNasha, remove the Gid HaNasha. But in today's world, or even in the world of Balei Tosfos, it wasn't worth the hassle, the amount of time it takes to remove the Gid HaNasha, and all the other stuff, to do all this trade, all this nikur, all this stuff. It's cheaper, it's more cost efficient to sell that part of the animal to the goyim. So that's what happens today with the shechting animal, half the animal goes to the kosher line, and the other half gets the start and gets sold off to the goyim. So Tosha says they used to do that in the days of the Rishonim also, that they would shecht an animal and sell off the whole part with the Yidanasha to the goyim. So Tosha says, wait a second, how are we doing this? How in the world are we selling meat to the goyim, knowing full well there's Yidanasha in there? Says, aren't we in gross violation of Yisra Hanan, Yidanasha? We paskin that Yidanasha is aimed at Yidanasinta, which means we pass the Yidanasha's also by Noah. Gebalt, we're in violation right and left of the Yisra Hanan of Yidanasha. So that was Tosus' problem. So Tosus is trying out to square away what comes out from the Sugya, which practically going on in the butcher stores in France. So hopefully, at the Shabbat tomorrow, we have to come up with Tosus' solution to the problem. And then we have to go back and say, wait a second. Are we sure that everybody came to Tosus' conclusion? Is there a way to possibly avoid Tosus' conclusion? It doesn't sound that way. It sounds like it's a no-brainer Tosus' conclusion that Yidanasha is also by Noah, but not necessarily. There may be a little bit of wiggle room out of the Sugya. We may be able to turn around and actually present the possibility in Rishonim that maybe Yidanasha is Mutter by Noah. How we can do that? We have a lot of work to do to figure that out. But right now we're working with Tosus' assumption that it is also by Noah, with the simple pshat, the Gemara Pesachim. And therefore, Tosus does have a challenge. What's going on in the butcher stores in France today, or in the 1100s? Hopefully, that's from tomorrow. We'll continue from this. Okay, wish everybody a wonderful day. Everyone is doing well. Those who come to the Iyun Shiurim at night, so Mitzvah Shem tonight, we're back at the regular time, 9 o'clock, for the Iyun Shiur of the Sechus Sukkah. Okay,
and anybody needs Mama Komos, just let me know. We have, you sent Mama Komos, Rebbe?
So we said a little bit, the truth is that if anyone's following the Iyun Shiur for tonight, so if you have three Gemaras in front of you, you'll be good. You have a Bava Kama, Sukkah, and Gittin. That's all you really, really need for tonight's Shiur. Bava Kama, Sukkah, and Gittin. Okay? Very good. Okay, good. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day. Stay well.